Welcome to worship today. Hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving. Hey, Sam, no one has seen you forever. They haven't seen you. Stand up and tell them show them what a second-year college student down in Arizona looks like. There's our friend Sam, okay? Welcome home. Yeah. You know that you not only represent yourself and your family, you represent this church in Malmo down there, so I know you're going to do it. Yeah, his dad said, so you better change your ways. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment, okay? It's nice to have you here this morning. Today is the first Sunday of the church year, the first Sunday of Advent. Advent lasts 4 weeks, 4 Sundays before Christmas, and so we light the first candle. That's the shepherd's candle. The shepherds were the first people to hear from the angels that the Messiah, the Savior, was born, and so we light the shepherd's candle. I wonder how that was. Can you imagine sitting out there tending sheep, sitting around a fire, maybe having a little schnorta like you do down there? You know, the old wine sack trick. And all of a sudden, the translation is an angel army, a host, an angel army, marches across the sky and starts singing and saying, the Messiah, the Savior. I would love to have been. Maybe it was some bad wine they had. No. Anyway, that would have been great. I wish I would have been there. The theme these 4 weeks is to prepare for the coming of the Christ child and also the second coming. And so the next few weeks, all those lessons are about preparing and being ready when the Lord comes. And so that's what we're going to be working on, okay, getting ready. You ready? I know when you go deer hunting, you're ready. Days ahead of time. Aren't you, Dennis? Yeah, you're ready. Well, would that we would be as ready when the Lord would come, okay? And that's what we're doing here on Sunday mornings. Hopefully when you say your prayers and things like that. There's a lot of things happening in church. Sign-up sheets for Save My Starving Children Tuesday. Well, we better hope the weather is good for that. The women's luncheon is Saturday. Monday, the Christmas party, sign up. Poinsettias, if you'd like to honor someone with poinsettias, please take care of that during the coffee hour. All the rest, I think you can be responsible for. Today, since it's the first Sunday of the church year, we thought we would take some time at the end of the service for, take a few moments for prayer. So you probably got some little yellow slips. If you've got a little prayer you'd like to write down and present to the altar, you can drop it into this basket there. If you'd like to light a candle in honor of someone or in memory of someone, if you have a prayer request from God, something you're working through, we're going to have a couple of people on either side that will make the sign of the cross with some oil on your forehead and say a little prayer with you if you'd like. We'll take some time at the end of the service to begin a whole new church here together. New opportunities, new beginnings. It's a good way to begin the church year, so we'll take some time at the end for that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives, for your spirit that has moved from before the beginning of time to touch us, even us, your children. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for forgiveness and for hope and joy and peace and all those good things that you promised to us. Help us to immerse ourselves in these gifts today. Help us not to take on the burdens ourselves, but to share them with you, knowing that you will travel with us. So today, as we sing these wonderful hymns, as we say our prayers, as we hear your word, we pray your spirit might stir in our hearts, that we can begin a new church year together with our eyes and our hearts focused on you. Bless us now with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is Joy to the World. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of hymn 267. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the Lord of Israel who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let's join together. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Sisters and brothers, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Who's reading today? Please. Thank you.
Today's first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. In the Old Testament, righteousness has often to do with being faithful in relationship. God acts righteously both in punishing Israel for its sins and having mercy. In today's reading, Jerusalem's future name, the Lord is our righteousness, proclaims that the Lord is even now working salvation for Israel. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Today's psalm is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. We will read responsively, and where you see the bold R, recite, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. Steadfast love, faithfulness, those who keep your covenant and your testimony. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday in Lent is found in the 21st chapter of St. Luke. God will fulfill God's promises, and already hidden signs of that fulfillment abound. On that great day, there will be dismay, perplexity, confusion, and terror. But God's people shall be given strength to stand boldly and receive God's promised redemption. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Word of God, the Word of Life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 574.
Thank you. will hold your people in my heart.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading a book by Zig Ziglar. He was telling the story of quarterback Jeff Hostetler, formerly with the New York Giants. At the beginning of his career, Hostetler was a backup quarterback. By his seventh season, he'd only thrown 200 passes. None of them had any bearing to the outcome of the game. He was a fill-in backup. Huh? Then Phil Simms, the starting quarterback of the Giants, went down. Bill Parcells looked to his backup quarterback on the bench and says, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn." And Hostetler went on the field, led his team to victory not only in that game, but led them to win the Super Bowl that year. Ziglar points out that there was some more to that, to the story, than what happened just in that season. During the 7 years Jeff was waiting, this is what Ziglar wrote. He threw thousands of passes through a swinging tire. He worked with his wide receivers and running backs in countless practice sessions, sharpening and honing his skills. He lifted tons of weights, did hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups, jogged many, many miles, and did numerous wind sprints. He literally spent hundreds of hours poring over the playbook, studying not only his own offense and defense, but the defenses of the opposing teams. And so when Parcells called out to Hostetler, he says, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn." Jeff was ready. We're beginning that season of the year known as Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time of getting ready, getting our spiritual lives ready, getting our hearts ready for joining God. The Latin derivative of the word Advent literally means to come. During these weeks, we'll focus our attention on the coming of Christ into our world. We'll consider the words of the prophets and their expectations of the Messiah's coming. We'll ponder the meaning of those texts in the New Testament where Christ will return to rule and judge and save at the end of time. So our theme for these Sundays of Advent is going to be signs of Christ's coming. Signs are important. The old joke, you know why the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness? Because Moses was afraid to stop and ask for directions. He didn't have any signs. Imagine trying to navigate through unknown territories, huh? Without signs. Or, Jim, without your GPS. I mean, we can't hardly live with that, without that now. Signs keep us aware of our surroundings. They help us with directions. They help us to keep us safe by offering warning to us. To ignore signs is risky, and it can sometimes be quite costly. That's the way it's always been. Go back with me to 1941. Two American soldiers are observing something unusual on their radar. They reported to their supervisor, who was a young second lieutenant. It was a peaceful Sunday morning. Nobody else was around. This young lieutenant, thinking what they had seen on radar was planes on maneuvers from California, he says, "Don't worry about those blips on your radar." But they should have worried about it. What these two soldiers had seen were the first signs of 353 planes on the way to Pearl Harbor. They reached their destination approximately 2 hours later, December 7th, 1941. "Don't worry about it," says their superior officer. You see, a very critical sign was missed, and it was tragic, and it was devastating, that attack that took place. Signs are important. So our lesson today, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Jesus is noting that there's going to be signs that are going to precede the coming of the Son of Man. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's teaching his disciples. They're probably sitting in some valley somewhere around some campfire. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a similar passage where we emphasized that Christ said that no one, not even himself, knew the day nor the hour when this was going to happen. And yet he said there's going to be signs. These signs will cause people to be terrified. These signs include the sun and the moon and the stars being shaken, the sea and the waves being tossed about. The world experienced an unprecedented state of chaos. Things will be out of control. It's a disturbing passage. And yet, notice what he says about these events. Huh? First he says, when these things take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption's drawing near. Do you hear what he's saying? When these signs, frightening things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads. Your redemption's drawing near. Does that sound frightening? He doesn't say duck. He doesn't say run for cover, hide, go crazy with fear. That's not his message. Jesus says, stand up and lift up your heads. Your redemption's drawing near. One of my favorite preachers is a guy named Tony Campolo. He tells the story when he was growing up, the preachers used to scare kids by warning them that Jesus could appear any time. And woe betide those kids if they were caught going to a movie. And Campolo says whenever he went to a movie, he was afraid that the time would come and Jesus would catch him and he'd miss the ending of the movie. There's still those kinds of preachers around who try and scare the life out of you, huh? Fortunately, there's not as many of them that used to that do that. Tony's pastor's trying to scare movie from the movie theaters back then. Remember when those movies were really wholesome and good? I mean, heaven forbid if a 12 or 13-year-old goes see an R movie today. Now, maybe I should. Nah, I'm not good with that fear business anyway. It's never been good for me to mix fear and faith, especially during Advent. If you love Jesus, the thought of his coming at any time, whether it be at Christmas or at the end of time, ought to be an occasion of rejoicing. Jesus is coming. Let's rejoice. That's something to celebrate. Not being afraid. I mean, we sang joy to the world at the beginning of the service. That's my kind of faith. That's my kind of religion. Joy to the world. God's with us. It's like the story a pastor friend of mine was telling me during his seminary days. The seminary didn't have a gym. And so a bunch of guys from the seminary would go over to the local public school and play in their playground, play basketball. There was always a janitor that would sit and read the Bible as they played. He would sit there until then he would lock up the place. But one day one of the seminarians walked over and says, "What are you reading?" And the old janitor says, "Well, I'm reading the Bible, the book of Revelation." Seminarian's kind of surprised, and it's the book of Revelation. Do you understand it? And the old man said, "Sure, I understand it." "You understand the book of Revelation? What does it mean?" And the old janitor very quietly said, "It means that Jesus is going to win." Do you need any more than that? That's all that matters to those who love Jesus. Jesus is going to win. And that has to be good news for you and for me. Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples, huh? No one loves us like Jesus loves us. So he's telling his disciples and he's telling us today, when those things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption's drawing near. Something to look forward to. Then he tells them this parable. He says, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer's near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near." When I see those things, you know that the kingdom of God is here. I've got to tell you something. I can't wait. I mean, I am just really looking forward to it. When we see the world going crazy, we know that the kingdom of God is near. You know what the kingdom of God is? One of the theologians I've been reading these days is a fellow by the name of Marcus Borg. Marcus Borg wrote this. He says, "The kingdom of God is what life would be like on earth if God were king and the kings and emperors of this world were not. It's a world of economic justice and peace, where the nations beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Every family has its own vine and fig tree, that is, its own land, and no one is made to live in fear." Wouldn't that be good? To me, that sounds like a great place to live, a place where no one is made to live in fear. That place means, to me, tells me there's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more foreclosures on homes. Nobody is unemployed. No more war. No more ISIS and all that monkey business that's take place. No more sickness. No more addictions. No more pain. Sign me up. Sign me up. I can't wait. We're such a fearful people. Do you remember last year when Ebola virus came? One person in the United States got Ebola and died from it. And that's a terrible tragedy that even one dies. But you'd have thought the whole world was collapsing. They were shutting down borders of nations. We live in a time when there's more hope for people who are sick than there's ever been in any time in history before. But we're more fearful of disease than any generation that's ever lived before us. Think about it. And we worry about the economy. Certainly the recession has caused us to tighten our belts a bit. I'm hunting for a house, and I'm trying to get my head around this. It'd be easy for me to go into a state of fear and throw up my hands and say, "Holy smokes, I'm dead." You know what? When I was growing up, we had 5 kids in my family. We lived in a house smaller than our parsonage. I mean, you probably, a lot of you did too. We live in these big houses these days, and we worry that we're not going to have enough for that. The whole economy is going to collapse. We're worried about events in the Mideast. Compare the threat of ISIS, terrible as ISIS is, with that of Hitler in the 40s, 30s and 40s. You see that we have no idea how well we do have it. And yet to watch the cable networks, you'd think that the whole world is about to collapse. Well, good if it is, because to paraphrase Jesus, when we see the world going crazy, you know that the kingdom of God is coming near. It's something to look forward to. Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. The disciples, Jesus knows he's going to be arrested and crucified and gone. He's telling his disciples, don't be afraid. God will take care of you. God loves you. God will always be by your side, if not in this world, in the next. You see, the call for this first Sunday in Advent isn't a call for fear. It's a call to faith. Of course, there's always going to be things happening in the world. But Jesus says, don't despair. It's under God's control. God will never forsake us. A few verses later in this gospel, Christ says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Does that mean we can trust every promise that Christ ever made to us? Of course we can, including the promise that no matter what happens, he will give us a peace that passes understanding. If we trust in him, we can trust in his every promise, including the promise that he'll never forget us or forsake us, including the promise that he's prepared a mansion for us, and where he is, so shall we be also. You don't have to be afraid. The Spirit, the creator of the universe, who became man, says, "I will always be with you if you trust in me. Nothing in this world can get you down if you trust me." He does add a word of caution. Yeah, here's the word of caution. He says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the anxieties of life." Be careful, he says. He's not talking about us here, is he? I mean, I can't imagine any of you will be drinking or carousing or worrying during this holiday season about how much you spend. Of course, I'm saying that in good humor. Just like I was saying in good humor, "Sam, you're the best kid I ever seen come out of a confirmation class, so I know you're not squirting off the wine jugs down there." I was just teasing. Mom, I was just teasing, okay? But Christ is saying to us that we live in a world of freedom. We are as free as can be, you and I. Some of us will bring heartache on ourselves or those we love by unhealthy behavior. Some of us will clog up our veins with unhealthy foods. Some of us will put strains on our hearts by unhealthy anxiety during this holiday season, but that's not God's will for us. That's not what Jesus wants for us. It's simply a realistic approach to human nature. Jesus is saying, don't get up and get caught up in all of this stuff. Make good choices, take the high road, and trust in God. So he says, be on watch. Be on watch. This is his final word to us today. He says, like a child waits for Santa Claus, be on watch. Like a couple awaiting the birth of their first child, be on watch, be ready. Like a family waiting for the return of a soldier after receiving word that he's safe and headed home, be on watch, be ready. Robbie Robbins was an Air Force pilot during the first Iraq war. After his 300th mission, he was surprised to be given permission to immediately pull his crew together, fly his plane home. These young military men flew into a base in Massachusetts. They got on a van and drove to their home in western Pennsylvania. They drove all night, hadn't told anybody about it. When his buddies dropped Robbins off at his driveway just after sun up, and it was a beautiful sunrise like this morning, there was a big banner across the garage, "Welcome home, Dad." How did they know, he asked himself. He hadn't called. The crew themselves hadn't known they were going to take off. They had tried to make it a surprise. Well, he relates that when he walked into his house, the kids half-dressed for school screamed, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home." And his wife came running down the hall. She looked terrific. Her hair was fixed. Her makeup was on. She was wearing a beautiful yellow dress. And he yelled, "How do you know? How did you know?" And she says, "I didn't," through tears of joy. "We knew you'd try to surprise us, so we were ready every day." That's supposed to be our attitude toward Advent, to be ready every day. This is a season to wait on tiptoes for the coming of the Lord. Our redemption is drawing near. The kingdom is drawing near. Look forward to it. Be ready for it. Christ's words will never pass away. You can trust in his promises forever. Therefore, Jesus says, be on watch. Be on watch. Amen. May Christ's peace and love always be with us. Amen. This time we will invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join together in singing our sermon hymn 608.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Part of our work as a congregation is to pray for the sick. Prayer for the sick is an important Christian discipline and a biblical injunction. We want it to be a part of our worship program. A theology of wholeness and wellness, however, would also include the work of thanksgiving and support for those who are healthy and are seeking to be good stewards of all God's blessings. Teach us, O God, how to walk in paths of wholeness and hope.
Help us care for those among us who are sick, and to challenge those who are well to embrace the fullness and vigor of life that you bring.
Let those who are lonely or sorrowing be comforted and called back into community.
Let those who are depressed or suffering from mental anguish
be held through compassion, care, and support. Let those who are facing illness of body be encouraged and assisted as they seek to recover or to be released from their pain.
Let those who are healthy celebrate with joy.
Let those of us who are able honor your creation through thankful enjoyment of nutritious food, clean air and water, and vigorous exercise.
Let us rejoice in the splendid variety of your creation.
Help us to be healthy and healing congregation, O God. Place where all are free to live full in body, mind, and spirit. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. You're invited this morning to come forward to receive a blessing, the sign of the cross and oil on your hand to strengthen you in your faith walk. You can also light a candle as you say a prayer. If you have a special prayer request, you can record it on the paper and place it in the basket on the altar. Let's join in this prayer for healing. Father, we thank you for your blessing to us. May your strength and grace surround us. May Jesus Christ, your Son, share with us this courage and his forgiveness. May the Holy Spirit lead us to the way of right and goodness for all. May your holy angels hold us in their arms and guide us on our journey here in this world and into the next. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's take a moment for prayer. If you'd like to present a prayer, light a candle, receive some oil. We have people on either side that would be glad to serve you. Marlis, would you play us some meditation music, please? Thank you. Please rise. Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Now may Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace, live in love as Christ has loved us.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 614, There is a Balm in Gilead.